You'll turn with me in the Word of God to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul tells us, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We have a cruel enemy, Satan. He knows how to launch his fiery arrows at us, doesn't he? He knows how to knock them through the arrow, and he's a very good marksman. He knows how to find all the chinks in the armor, all the weak spots, and he is aiming to destroy us. And Satan, what are some of the arrows that are in his quiver? Temptations to sin, vile accusations made against God's people, oppression, discouragement, distraction. But this battle, though it's waged in the unseen realm, it makes itself known in the world of men, doesn't it? Because the world is made up of unregenerate sons and daughters of the devil, whereas the church is made up of the adopted sons and daughters of God. And there's a warfare as the world oppresses and persecutes the local church and God's people. But it's not only there, is it? It's also not from the world, it's also inside the local church. You ever think about the fact that sometimes God uses visible Christians in this warfare? Paul could say there were false brothers who tormented him and troubled him. But here's the scary thing. Sometimes truly regenerate people can be the mouthpiece of the devil. You remember when Peter rebuked Jesus and said, "This will never happen to you. You're not going to go to the cross." And Peter, through whom the Father had just spoken, and when he made his great confession, Jesus looks at him and says, "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, for you're mindful of the things of men and not the things of God." You know what's scary about that? It means that God can use, or that Satan can use you to discourage God's people. Even more close to home, he can use me to discourage God's people. And so I find myself crying out, "Oh Lord, put a guard over my lips. Protect me." But here in this particular text, David is crying out about affliction he had received from God's visible people. In this case, they were unregenerate. They were not true Christians whatsoever. But it was the hardest thing of all. If it was an enemy, that I could handle. But here he says, no, it's not an enemy, it's my friend. It's my fellow brother who walked with me in the way to the temple. Notice in verses 1 through 8, he cries out to God, "Give ear to my prayer, O God." He knows exactly where to go for refuge. "Lord, help me because I'm overwhelmed." Look at verse 3, "Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me." And look how vivid and descriptive he is in verse 4. "My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me." You ever been that discouraged? Maybe that discouraged because of the slander of one of God's people? You ever been there before? Spurgeon was there. Listen to what he says about this. "Like one who feels a fainting fit coming over him, so the oppressed supplicant was falling into a state of terror. His fear was so great as to make him tremble. He did not know what would happen next or how soon the worst would come. The sly, mysterious whisperings of slander often cause a noble mind more fear than open antagonism. We can be brave against an open foe, but cowardly plotting conspiracies bewilder and distract us." And that's exactly what David was going through at this time. Notice verse 6. "So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander afar off and remain in the wilderness." You ever so discouraged, you say, "I think I want to go to Fiji?" And just stay there for a while. The problem is, you're not going to escape because your own personal rain cloud is going to go there with you. And again, Spurgeon is very helpful here. He says this, "We are all too apt to utter this vain desire, for vain it is. No wings of doves or eagles can bear us away from the sorrows of a trembling heart. Inward grief knows nothing of peace or of place. Moreover, it is cowardly to shun the battle which God would have us fight. We'd better face the danger, for we have no armor for our backs. We need to have a swifter conveyance than dove's wings if we would outfly slander. He may be at rest who does not fly, but commends his case to God. Even the dove of old found no rest till she returned to her ark, and we amid our sorrow may find rest in Jesus. We need not depart. All will be well if we trust him. In other words, let's find our refuge there, not in our flight. Verses 12 to 14, David gets to the heart of the matter. He identifies who his enemy is. He says, "It is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who's exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng." Verses 20 to 21 describes the slander that this man brought against David. He's put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He's broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. When we see these words, you know who we should think of. We should think of David's greater son, Jesus Christ. And we should think of how his betrayal at the hands of a friend, Judas Iscariot. It's been pointed out before, isn't it interesting that Jesus called Peter a devil and he called Judas a friend? When he came to betray him, he says, "Friend, why have you come?" And he betrayed him with a kiss. Here was the one who was his friend. "For which thing, kindness that I've shown you, for washing your feet, for ministering to you all these years, is that why you've betrayed me, as it were?" And if you are in Christ, there's times that you've probably been betrayed. Some of you aspire to go into the gospel ministry. You will know seasons of this kind of thing. Every pastor I know who's been in the ministry for any length of time has gone through times of seasons and trials like this. But David, as discouraged as he was, he ends with hope. Notice what he says in verse 22, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days." He says, "I'm not taking vengeance. I know if my cause is righteous, you will vindicate me. You will avenge." And then he says this, "But I will trust in you." So who is our refuge in times of trouble? It's always the Lord. So bear these things in mind as I read the text to you. "To the chief musician with stringed instruments, a contemplation of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, 'Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old, Selah. Because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you." May the Lord add his richest blessing to both the reading and the hearing of his word. You may be seated.